Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I'm honored and privileged to have with me today, really and truly, the district attorney of Berkshire County. And his name is Timothy Shugrue. He's a great lawyer. He's been on both sides of the bar. And I don't mean that kind of bar. I mean the legal bar. He's been a prosecutor and he's been a defense attorney. And I think with that knowledge, he's brought so much to the office. That's my opinion. And of course, we all know the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, the Pittsfield School Committee, Pete Marchetti in the mayor's office, Pete White in the city council, and or the wonderful person riding their bicycle in the southbound lane north on North Street. Listen, and for the public, I just want to say this. District Attorney Shugrue has a bunch of initiatives going on from organized retail crime to juvenile diversion to interfacing with law enforcement throughout the county, all kinds of new initiatives, prosecutions and everything. And I just want to say we are not immune here, and the district attorney can certainly let us know that, from what goes on in the rest of the world. I think sometimes in Pittsfield, people think we're an M&M. You know, we're hard on the outside and nice and chocolatey in the inside. Well, we're not any different than anybody else. We have gun violence, drug violence, and the DA's working at knocking all that down. So without further ado, pour gras, soup du jour. My district attorney, Timothy Shugrue. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. How you doing?
For an old fat bald guy, I'm fine.
Are you getting ready for the holidays? Are you getting you and Roseanne going to get ready for Christmas and New Year's?
The grandchildren will be arriving on the 22nd.
Well, congratulations.
And I'll be stocking up on Ben Gay on the 23rd. Because they use Grandpa for a jungle gym.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing. I one thing before we get started, I think there's misconception in the public, and I want you to straighten it out. There was this thing in the in the Berkshire Eagle saying that the DA was not going to cooperate with ICE. Well, would you explain why? I think it was a misquote, but. There's more to the story, as they say.
There's a lot to the story. What you have to understand, first off, we partner with federal authorities all the time. I work with the U.S. Attorney's Office. In fact, there was a big case that happened this week. I was working with the U.S. Attorney's Office that happened in Pittsfield High School, which I have been involved with Josh Levy, who is the U.S. Attorney that will be, I believe, leaving there in January. But The current U.S. Attorney, we work with them. And when I first came in the office, I've always worked with Homeland Security, FBI. I work with FBI all the time, especially with the elder frauds. As you know, we had a couple of thefts, One in North Africa, one in Great Barrington. We work with Homeland Security. I work with ATF. We work with them all the time. But one of the things that I get concerned of is when we have cases that come into our prosecution, and I'm in charge with prosecuting these cases and making sure these cases get prosecuted to the fullest extent so justice happens, and to make sure that we convict people who commit crimes, and I give justice to victims. Now, my role in this, in the community, is when we have a victim crime, is to make sure that we're giving the victims of crimes justice, to have their cases tried, to have their cases heard, and to have people get convicted. When it relates to federal authorities coming in and taking defendants out and deporting them before I can give justice to our citizens of Berkshire County, that's a disservice.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather see them let them have their day in court. My victims need their day in court. Let's get those convictions, and we are getting those convictions. Get the convictions, and then what happens with ICE is up to ICE and that individual, because now they've been convicted of a crime.
Right.
And they're never convicted of a crime. We're going to send them to prison. But I need them to be convicted of a crime, because oftentimes, if we let the federal authorities deport somebody, it's not long before they're back in the United States. And that case I had that we built up that was so important that we could prosecute this person and they'd have a criminal record. If they came back here, we would be able to reincarcerate them, that they have the availability to not get prosecuted and walk away from awful crimes. We had a real bad one with a person from Romania with a serious organized retail crime problem. We finally caught him in the Berkshires. He posted bail and he was taken by ICE, but now he's in Arizona. They're going to send him back to Romania. I can guarantee you within 6 months, he'll be in the United States
Oh,
on a different
absolutely.
name, a different term, and he'll be stealing across the country like he's been doing. Give us the opportunity to convict these individuals. Give us the opportunity to prosecute these people. And if they want to deport them, then, you know, more power to you.
Yeah.
But the issue here is to give justice to my victims of crime, to give justice to these places that get the merchandise stolen, give justice to people who were rape cases, child abuse cases, give justice to these rape victims, to give them a chance to have their cases heard and proved in court, convict these individuals. Then there's no way they're going to get back here. And there's no way if they enter the country, it's not going to be known. We'll have their fingerprints. Once we convict them, we get their DNA. They get to the DNA database. We get their fingerprints in the database. Once I have them, once they're convicted, we have so much more control over these individuals, where they go in the world, and how and if they can try to come back into the United States. And those are the individuals we don't want coming back to the United States. But we don't convict them. I have nothing to hang my hat on later when an individual comes here, because those cases are wiped out. And when they're wiped out, that means that we have no record that this person may have raped somebody, may have raped a child, may have done a serious theft. Those are the cases that we need. Let me prosecute the cases. Let's get to our conclusions. I work with the federal authorities all the time to better our community. I work to get guns and drugs off the street with the Homeland Security and with many different organizations that are federal organizations. So we're working with that, and we'll make sure that I continue to work with the federal authorities. But when it comes to ICE trying to thwart our ability to prosecute these cases, my job is to prosecute crime. My job is to make the people of Berkshire County safe. My job is to make sure that I am holding people accountable who break the laws of Massachusetts and the United States. So I am going to continue to prosecute these cases. I would like to do so without the hindrance of someone being deported without any consequences, because I'm all about consequences and accountability. You deport somebody, they're on the streets of Mexico or wherever they're coming from, and they've not been held accountable. Then they're not in prison, they're not in jail. And if they get back into the United States, they're free to do their behavior with no record that they have ever been convicted of a crime. So you have to understand that all of us want to get the bad people that are doing crime against people off the streets. But we have to do justice first, justice to convict them. And let me do my job. What you do with them after they've been incarcerated, that's fine. But it's very important that I give justice to the victims of Berkshire County. And that's my role as a DA, is to make sure I am trying these cases, make sure I am convicting these defendants. And as you know, following us the last 2 years, we have convicted so many people, and we have taken so many people off the street. Once we have that conviction and their sentence, what happens with them if they get deported? That's between them and the United States government. But right now, they have made a crime against the citizens of Berkshire County. I want to make sure we're prosecuting those individuals to the fullest extent of the law. And most importantly, I don't want to tell an 11-year-old that I can't give her justice because her rapist was just sent back to a foreign country and not in prison and not in jail. I don't want to tell an adult woman that has been sexually assaulted, physically abused, that I can't prosecute that case. That person sent back home to walk the streets of wherever they're from. No, we deserve justice to our victims of crimes here, and we deserve to make sure that justice happens. And that's my job, is to protect the victims of Berkshire County, and to make sure we hold these defendants accountable and convict them. So there is a misconception, because we do work with authorities, but we're not. We are making sure justice gets served by all parties, and the convictions happen, and I protect my victims of the crimes, because, you know, often these individuals will go back to the other country and commit crimes there as well, or they'll come commit crimes. No, if people are committing crimes, we need to hold them accountable. So that's why I prefer ICE not to come in and take them. We don't contact them. That I want my cases done. Once they go into, they're incarcerated, they're going to be released. They then get notified that they're going to be released, but we do not notify them, because I want to prosecute these cases and give justice to all parties and give justice to the victims. People forget about the victims. So there are victims behind these cases. They need justice, and I'm going to ensure that they get the justice that they deserve, and that's through the court process.
And that, thank you for clarifying, because there was I don't think the Eagle meant to have the misconception, but there was a misconception. But now the DA is definitely straightening this out. We want our pound of flesh. I'm not an attorney, but we want our pound of flesh before the feds throw them out of the country or whatever they're going to do. they haven't had a great record of throwing them out of the country either. If you read some of the other stories around, they bring them somewhere else, they get bailed out or whatever, and there they go.
Yeah, then I don't have any control. I'm not prosecuting that case. I give the victims, I have to tell the victims that I can't prosecute the case. They've been taken away. If they get released on bail somewhere else, then I don't have justice. But more importantly is the fact that I want to get these individuals, I see this probable cause, and I try to hold them on bail, make that it's a bail that's appropriate under the law, that follows the law, what's appropriate for bail. We ask for bail in those individuals. Well, oftentimes we get them. If they're able to post it, it usually ensures their appearances for court. And we do put pretrial conditions on defendants to protect the public. If I feel the public are being protected while they're out there, let us prosecute the case. Let us get to conclusion. Yeah. Let us get the conviction. And then once we have the conviction, there's no going back, because now it's on record and we've got their DNA, we've got their fingerprints, and they're now logged into our system. So yeah, there's a lot of reasons for wanting to have the prosecution completed to fruition, so that we are keeping track of what I consider dangerous individuals or individuals that have broken the laws in Massachusetts and the United States. So I want to make sure we get the convictions, and it's important to my office. That's what I've been given the task of doing. Right. Doing hell of a job doing it, but at the same time too, I don't want these cases just taken out from underneath me without me being able to get the convictions. So I think it's very important that we let our judicial system do its job and get these convictions and go from there.
Thank you for explaining that. Thank you for clarifying that. And the other thing that we have the DNA. Once we have the DNA, they can get a false passport. They can change your name 68 times. It's not going to make a difference. We're going to know who this person is.
Right. And in Massachusetts,
that to me is critical.
It's critical. In Massachusetts, every person gets convicted of a felony must give their DNA to a database. That database is so huge for us in solving other crimes throughout the country and solving crimes even in our county when we have the DNA of another individual. So to just get rid of these people without collecting that information, we're losing out on unsolved crimes and whatnot. So to me, it's important to get the conviction, get the DNA, and have a record of who these people are. But Bill, it all comes back to, I talk about this word all the time, accountability.
Right.
If these people break the laws in Massachusetts, I want them held accountable for breaking the laws in Massachusetts. I want them accountable to be held to the victims of the crimes that they have perpetrated upon, and get these people justice in the courtroom, to have the family see someone get found guilty, rather than just walk away with no conviction and be able to walk on the streets of wherever they're going to. I think it's important that we hold them accountable, we prosecute the cases, and we make sure
the victim has still been damaged.
Absolutely.
What you're going is retribution or accountability for the damage done to the victim. And I think that's why people voted in this county for him.
Yeah, so we're making sure our streets are safe and protected, and the reputation, and I know it firsthand from the investigation that we're doing, that we're hearing from organized retail crime, guns and drugs, they know the reputation of Berkshire County has changed 180 degrees difference. And they know now that you're going to come up here, we're going to prosecute you, you're going to try to sell drugs, we're going to find you, we're going to get you, and we're going to incarcerate you. So if you're going to come in here and try to poison our community, we will hold you accountable. But when I lose track of not being able to have somebody that I can prosecute because they're just being deported, that is just a disservice to the citizens of Berkshire County who don't get justice. And again, we have no record keeping of what's going on with these individuals. And don't fool yourself that these people they do get back into the country. So, I want to make sure that we're convicting and we're getting accountability, and what we keep with accountability is DNA. So we'll now know who an individual is, because a lot of these crimes are committed by people and they come in with different names and different identities.
That's exactly right.
But you can't change your DNA. So once I have that, we know who's who, and that is just such an invaluable tool. So for me, all aspects of it and I think most prosecutors across the state feel the same way.
Yeah.
I think most prosecutors believe the same thing. We want to prosecute these cases to our conclusion. And then what happens with them with deportation is between the United States government and that individual. But at least let me do my job first. Let me prosecute these cases and give the victims, our victims who live here, who are being hurt by these individuals, give them justice in the courtroom.
And as we go forward to this was one story that came out, and I've gotten some feedback, the DA's got, And I wanted to get a clarified. And now you can see there was the story. The DA is up at the plate swinging the bat for us, for us, right. for us. And, you know, it's nice the feds do A, B, and C, but we need a local prosecutor. When someone's a victim of a crime, and he's got a great victim advocate group there, great. And when a person is a victim of a crime, there's damage there. A quick story, restorative justice. I remember this lady years ago, violent youthful offender, broke in her house while she was sleeping, stole the only thing in life she really wanted, a black and white 14-inch TV. And I'll never forget it. She said, you know, they sat down face to face, and she said, well, let me tell you, this is how I'm equating this with victims. She said, I have to tell you, I haven't slept a good night since you broke into my house. She said, I hear anything, I'm awake. She said, and then you took the only real communication, because I'm older now, I don't get out, and you took my TV. And I can't afford another TV. And I saw the damage done to a person, real life damage done. And it's always sat with me. And that's why I really applaud the DA's victim witness group there, because they understand that this person has been not just broke their house, broken, whatever, they've been damaged.
Yeah, the consequences are a lot deeper than people realize.
Oh, absolutely.
The emotional impact of being a victim of a crime is devastating, and it stays with them for a long period of time. And to just be able to walk away and have no consequences from actions is just not right with me. I think people should be held accountable when they hurt another individual. And theft can hurt people. That's a good example you just gave. You know, someone that now couldn't sleep
soundly.
And they're afraid about everything that's going around. And the fact that it was a personal violation of their home is just such an awful thing. And then the one thing that gave them, the outside world access was a television, and to have that taken from them, you can see how the victims get impacted by that. Not seeing people accountable, we don't have that. We don't have that justice that comes forward for that victim to know that somebody was held accountable, somebody was, put to the task of what they did, that it was wrong. And then on top of that, we set an appropriate sentence, and usually it's on cases that are big, it's incarceration, rape cases and sexual assaults that we're talking about, and these big organized retail crimes. So, you know, what happens after we've done that and they face the consequences? The federal government can do what they want. But while that's happening to our victims that live in this county, and the reputation that we want to be known in this county, that we make sure that we protect our people that live here. It is still an isolated area of the country. It's still one of the most beautiful places you can live. It's bucolic. It's still safe. It's still a great place to live. But when we have criminals that come in here that commit the crimes, my job is to hold those people accountable and make sure they face the consequences and not just get pulled away and not face a trial, face the consequences, and not give the victim a day in court. Yeah. Face their accusers and say, what you did to me was wrong, and you're going to be held accountable for it. So to me, having that taken away from local authorities, local law enforcement, is very disheartening. And again, it's the sheriff and I get along with many, many policies, and I don't do his job. He doesn't do my job, but we both respect each other and do what we're doing.
Yeah.
He understands why I do what I'm doing. I understand why he does what he's doing. But my job is to make sure that I hold these people accountable and that my victims get their day in court. So my goal is to keep prosecuting these cases while these individuals are still in the United States.
I have to compliment you, your team, your entire team. This organized retail crime, you've kicked some butt there. You've made some real inroads with the merchants, and you know that I applaud you for that, because that's a big, you know, I don't want to live the past, but you know, when you got a mom and pop and they get whacked for, $40 worth of stuff, it may not seem a lot to Walmart, but to that little store, it could be the profits for the day.
Oh yeah, you got little stores like Car Hardware. They're in bread and butter stores. I mean, I know about the rest. Not that I'm trying to give them a plug, but it's those little stores like that that I go to that give me the personal service that you need and that you want. And they can't handle a $2,500 theft. They can't handle $30,000 going outside this store. And again, I tell the story. Walmart told me in 2022, $1.6 million came out of there. They can't handle that either out of the Allendale store. That's just a big theft. And the difference that we're making, the store manager is telling me they're seeing a market reduction in the amount of theft that's coming out of there. They're seeing that that it's a lot safer for their consumers, for their tellers, everybody else that's working. And they work with us on a monthly basis and meet with the police departments. So we go over the new scams that are coming in to the Berkshires and what's happening. The skimmers that are put on some of the cash registers, like a Big Y, for example, went and installed all brand new skimmers that cannot computers devices, so they can't be skimmed. So, but we're working with these agencies and with these stores on how to do that, and that's making a big difference. So it's making it harder for people to do the thefts against our consumers. And it's also, we're holding them accountable. And then a couple of people, we put in some pretty significant sentences, and that really dries up a lot of this behavior pretty quickly. Because when people see you're putting people in jail for these big thefts, stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from people, or even $30,000, $40,000, people think twice about doing those behaviors. So I'm very proud of the organized retail crime. I think that most stores I go into, and I shop at all the local stores. I'm at Big Y, I'm on West Street, on Pittsfield all the time. These are the stores that are in the marginalized communities get hit the hardest. And when I'm there, I'm making sure I'm going to make sure that the people, they steal from these facilities, that they're going to be held accountable. And the police department is very happy with that. They love doing the investigations now. They've just a big, there's a big pep in their step about, we have great police departments that want to do their jobs. But as my job is to follow through with that once they've done the arrest and then we prosecute. So I think that we have made, huge strides in that. We talked about this a while ago. I came in to first off fix the administration of this office. But in the first 6 months, I tackled guns and drugs, and we really were very, very successful. And I extended on come that fall. We went into organized retail crime.
Yeah.
And this past year, we've gone into a lot of the elder abuse frauds and a lot of special victims units and disabled people's frauds. So I have been building different tasks, and we have done literally dozens and dozens of trainings at the Berkshire Innovation Center in the last 2 years for local law enforcement, for local nonprofits, for local agencies. I brought in people nationwide to teach in the Berkshires. My ADAs have traveled across the country getting retrained and getting trained. I have invested a lot of money in making all these lawyers know how to present good cases in the courtroom. So a lot of money is being spent on that. So there's so many multitasks that are going on. But this office has been brought, way, way, way up to its standards where it should be. And I'm proud of that. And I'm proud of the fact that these ADAs now are very well trained and they're excellent lawyers. I know you've seen them in action. You know how good they are, that they're exceptional lawyers who are working literally 60, 70 hours a week, still because we need five more lawyers and I just can't fill the positions. But that's how much people are working. We're supposed to, for example, Bill, we're supposed to go every other month for criminal cases in the Superior Court.
Right.
For the last 24 months, in the 2 years I've been in here, we have gone every single month. We have not taken we haven't done. That's the way it's supposed to be. 1 month criminal, 1 month civil. We have gone full criminal for 24 months.
Wow.
To get rid of the COVID backlog and also to prosecute the cases because we've done a big influx in the amount of cases that we brought forward. And we've taken a lot of guns and drugs in the street, which means there are a lot more people in jail. We've increased the jail by a significant amount of population. Yep. And these people that are coming that we're incarcerating are very, very dangerous and bad individuals. But we're keeping them off the streets of Pittsfield.
Right.
Both sides were catching him. We're catching him with the drugs before it hits the streets. And as a result, I'm seeing a reduction in those periods of time when we get the drugs off the street, when you have a big hit like that, I see a huge reduction in overdose deaths in the months that follow that. So I know it's working. And I know that what we're doing is making a big difference. Because I know walking on North Street every weekend and walking on downtown, I know that it's a lot safer and it's getting a lot safer. And it's
Yep.
again, only been 2 years and we've got a long way to go. So we're still.
But the thing is, you're doing it. First of all, let me say you attracted some marvelous lawyers. I
Right.
mean, really and truly, your first assistant. I mean, I've interviewed her. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She works real hard. She again, you know, she was a prosecutor here in the DA's office many years ago
Yeah.
in 2013, and she became a federal prosecutor. And for 10 years, she was a federal prosecutor. So again, that brings the federal relationship with the FBI, the ATF, and Homeland Security. She brings all those connections with us. And now she's back to prosecuting on the state level, and she's doing a bang up job. And it's a
Huh.
very difficult job. We're on call 24/7. People don't realize we get called out
Yeah.
all nights on Saturdays and Sundays. You know, last weekend I wasn't home all weekend because I've got so many things to do for community engagement and getting called out on crimes. And we run a lot of investigations. She's doing that all the time. My second assistant, Kelly Kemp from North Adams,
Yeah.
is 33 years worth of experience. She's teaching all the young lawyers. And she's trying to train them as they come in. So she does training weekly. She does diversions. She does all sorts of hard work. And the ADAs are doing them. I had Rachel Arama try two big murder cases this year and convicted both of them.
Both of
Almost
them.
a
Yes.
degree.
Oh, I keep up with you.
Difficult cases. And so the courtroom trial time is really being absorbed by us, by the Berkshire District Attorney's Office. And
Good.
we're doing a lot of these cases that are getting done. In the meantime, we're also doing other outreach programs in the community. So it is a very busy office. I think sooner or later, some of it will run itself. But right now, we're still developing and getting things going. And it's like I said, it's only been 2 years, but it's been a very, very, very successful 2 years. Very
Well,
successful.
and what I think you bring, and I've said this in the past, so what you bring is the double-edged sword, and I mean that as a compliment. You were a defense attorney. You have been a prosecutor. You understand the system. You also understand that people can be brought back.
Oh, absolutely.
Addicts and you probably more so than a lot of people who just hit the deck on the criminal justice prosecution side. But it's been my experience, if you get the person and I'll say Berkshire County House of Correction. Now, I know that they'll get me some hate mail, but I'm used to it. Sheriff Bowler over there runs a good detox operation.
Absolutely.
He really does. And I've been around a long time. I'm an old man and I've seen a lot, but I will tell you this. If you can't get the person clean, this isn't going to work.
Right.
Because that all the time is thinking of the next fix, the next fix, the next tie, the next. And I got in trouble with one of your predecessors. When I said, I think jail is appropriate for some people just to get them clean. And a lot of them want to, you've seen this,
Oh,
Tim.
yeah,
A
I've
lot
heard.
of them want to stop and they go to these detox centers, non-lockup, and 2 days later, the Jones is back, they're out the door.
Yeah, I noticed it really. I saw the big thing is when you're in private practice, you deal with, unfortunately, the addiction issue on a
Yeah.
regular basis. And I would see, families are coming in, hiring me to represent their kids who are involved in
Yeah.
narcotics, whether it's low-level distribution or whether it was because they were using. And the answer always was a two-prong attack. One, the deal with the issue at hand, which is emergency. There's a substance abuse problem. The substance abuse problem. But what the second prong that has to happen with that is what led to that person getting that addiction problem. There's usually some sort of trauma behind it, either post-traumatic
Exactly.
disorder, could be domestic violence in the home before, it's learned behavior, could have been the family. It was that individual was in a toxic relationship home with addiction issues, both drugs or alcohol, either or both. Usually it comes from something that led to the addictive issue. So we treat the addiction first, and then we treat secondarily
Yes.
as what led that to it. And one of the things that I'm very proud of is that we tried to do that in the district court because
Yep.
we had two courts for a reason in Massachusetts. The Superior Court are the serious cases. Those are usually people that are hardened criminals that are probably going to end up in state prison. The district court is much different. It's a court of hope. It's a court
Yes.
of rehabilitation. And the sheriff gets that. That's what I love about having this. And I've known the sheriff since I was 13. And, we play football together. We've been friends forever. And even though people try to put a wedge between us, we work very, very well together. But the sheriff has great programs of getting people who are in the throes of addiction that any day could end up dying from an overdose
That's
or
right.
back in a worse situation, and trying to get them, if it's come to the point they have to be incarcerated. And I used to tell parents that when I was in private practice, sometimes incarceration isn't a bad thing. Sometimes
That's exactly right.
incarceration gets an individual cleaned up and they live to see another day. And almost every addict that's gone through the process, and there are a lot of great success stories, a lot of them,
Oh,
they will
yes.
tell you that getting through that dark tunnel, they need to see this light at the end of the tunnel. If we give them that light in the district court, we give them that light in the House of Correction, and then when they're ready to come back out, give them the tools so they can get back to work, so they're not going back to a trap house where the only thing they know is to consume drugs or alcohol. But give them the tools to have housing, give them tools to have a trade that you can learn in the House of Correction, or give them the tools to we do our dress for success. Give them a chance to get out there in the community so
Yeah.
that they're rehabilitated and they don't have to worry about getting back. We're trying to end the recidivism, and we're trying to end the stigma so that people can get back to work and be productive in our community. That's what the district court does. That's what the House of Correction does. Granted,
Yeah.
the House does hold a lot of the criminal defendants as a way station before they go to state prison, but they also have a lot of programming the individuals that are getting small House of Correction sentences. These are usually individuals who've had building up a little bit of a resume
Yeah.
and to incarceration, but they're not lost causes. And that's why Second Street, Second Chances is such a great successful program. And that's why I support the rehabilitative aspect of it as well, along with the other part is to get rid of the drugs that are coming in here by being a little bit more stern on the drug dealers who are not
Dealer.
using drugs, who are coming in here and poisoning our community. But at the same time, too, trying to help. It's two prongs. Go after the dealer, get rid of the supply, help the addict out, help them get off drugs, let them get back to work. That's the only way that I know, that I think anybody in the country knows, of how to tackle
That's exactly right.
the opioid and the narcotics problem.
We're
And you
going to
got
have to take a break. I'm here with the district attorney, Timothy Shagrew. He's hit the deck running, and he's been running, and he maybe I'll stop running the next term, but he's really done a lot to address all the problems, and there's a lot of problems. I don't want to be Pollyanna, there we have our own, we are an urban community, Pittsfield. So, and we'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio. We are simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Much more to come.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
It's a revolution!
Yeah, baby, yeah!
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Join us for Up on Taconic, a weekly show that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. Explore the world with conversations including the culinary arts and other CTE programs. Hear students and teachers discuss the importance of reading and also take a look at the vibrant arts culture in the school and much, much more. Join us every Monday at 6 p.m. for these lively discussions right here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. That good-looking guy with hair, he is the district attorney I don't want people to confuse us with Berkshire County. I'm the guy without the hair. But his name is Timothy Shugru. He got a bunch of initiatives, and one of the ones that everybody knows is near and dear to my heart. If you are listening to the first half of the show, the way of approaching addiction and sale of drugs and all that, I can remember one kid that I had in the Violent Youthful Offender Program who said by going into the program probably saved his life. Because he was in a gang, he was carrying a gun, he was going up in the ranks of the gang because other gang members were being shot. So sometimes, I just say this and don't go crazy, but sometimes incarceration isn't the worst thing, especially if you have an addiction problem. I've talked with a lot of people with addiction, and if you can't get that out of this, the next fix, and you got to detox, you and it's got to be good. So our House of Corrections, Berkshire County, Sheriff Bowler runs a great shop for detoxing people. Now, the other thing, and the district attorney talked about in the first half, and I don't think we fully realize it, is organized retail crime. He's got a unit that does that. They have knocked it down from mom and pops to Walmart. And that's the kind of spread you want, because Walmart can't afford to lose a lot, but the mom and pops can't either. And you know, I just really think what he's doing. And then my near and dear to my heart is intervention with the juveniles and what you're doing there. You know, some of these kids, their life, their trauma, kids that I had in the program, some of the stories they would tell you would break your heart.
Yeah, we have a great person, Stacy Parsons, that's running, developing some diversion programs with the partnerships throughout the many, many agencies in Berkshire County, and putting these agencies to work with our youth. We're also working in the schools. By working in the schools, especially with the reserve officers, special reserve officers, resource officers in the schools, they give us a lot of information about what's happening with some kids that, you know, that maybe just on the wrong path and maybe having some difficulty and need some help. We identify these kids and get them into programs and to help before we get to the criminal justice system. You know, if we've got kids that we identify that are at risk kids or at need kids, we can identify them and get them into programs. And a lot of times, and I mean programs, sometimes it's just sports. Sometimes it's music,
drama,
theater. I try to as close as I can. We work with Shakespeare Company. I'm trying to partner now with Berkshire Theater Festival, who are a great organization in our county. But they put kids to work and help them, you know, do some things that are also educational, but brings them off the street and gets them involved. So before they find themselves with peer pressure into a criminal justice system by going to juvenile court. So while we deal with the juvenile court issues, we're also spending a great deal of money and a lot of time that we have done in the last 2 years of being back in the school system and teaching kids about bullying, teaching kids about internet crime and cyber safety, and about, you know, the sexuality with on the internet and what happens in the danger zones and the predators that are out there. But boy, I can tell you this much. I don't know if you've all noticed in 2 years how many to catch a predators that the state police and North Dakota police and Pittsfield police have caught and done with people coming in here. It's just blown my mind. I mean, we have arrested for, for trying to entice kids on what we call the catch of predators, which are really police officers posing as kids. Lines, and these people are reaching out and trying to do that. So there's a lot of dangers to kids. And when we're educating them in a young business, we used to just do DARE and then MAD and SAD. And both MAD and SAD were very successful programs because, you know, this when my kids were starting to grow, nobody would think about drinking and driving. It was just, and now they're doing more with vaping and stuff like that. So teaching the kids. So being in the schools is very, very important to us, but also to try to identify kids that may need some extra help and get programming to them. So even though we're prosecuting cases, I can tell you that we have received a little over $1 million in grants in the last 2 years.
Cool.
That money doesn't go to my office. That money goes directly to the Berkshire community for organizations like Roots Rising, which is the kids that do the agricultural stuff out of North
Carolina. That's an amazing program.
It's an amazing program. And, you know, we our first year we gave them and we told the governor about a lot of this, and the governor actually indicated that they gave Berkshire County a shout out for doing some of the most innovative programming as it relates to getting kids involved and stuff. And they ran it themselves, and they managed the grant. They did everything. And so the next year we re-upped with them again. And so we're finding more programs that exist out there that if I can get the federal and state grant money for, then you know, we've siphoned it through the office to these organizations that stay in Berkshire County, you know. And on top of that, you know, those programming that gives us, you know, diversion programs, it gives us rehabilitation programs. We partner with BHS to keep informed with them, the trends in the drug use, the trends and what they're seeing and overdoses. So there's lots of partnerships that we use and do. So there's a lot of times that we are meeting quarterly, monthly on different agencies. So there's a lot of work going into this rehabilitation process and also into grants that are coming into our community to deal with what I consider social issues that have not led to criminal justice, but it's preventative. It prevents crimes before they're happening. And by preventing crimes before they're happening, it's significant. That's another reason why the drug work was so important, because our reputation has changed 180 degrees in 2 years. Drug dealers are less likely wanting to come here. They still will, because it's marketable. Yeah. And it's, you know, they're greedy and they want money, but we're on top of them, and they know we're on top of them. And so chances are they're going to get caught. That we're trying to take all those levels and putting those programs into work, and it's working. I see a big organized retail crime is a good one.
Yeah.
Juvenile justice is taking a while because we don't have the kids long enough. So we're trying to get the kids earlier, get them at a younger age by reaching them before we go into the criminal justice system.
Right.
That's our chance for our future, is to, and especially in the juvenile court, to try to rehabilitate kids before they end up in the criminal justice system. Because when they mature from juvenile court to adult court, it is dramatic. You go from, you know, minor consequences to major consequences. So we're trying to get the kids rehabilitated at a younger age. And how do we do that? Community support. Like I said, programs like with BHS and with Shakespeare and Company and sports, any of that kind of stuff, the parks. The city parks are beautiful, and they do a lot. And
yes,
we're lucky we have that. And so the amount of stuff that comes out of the city for the kids to do is getting better and better every year. So that thwarts a lot of the crime. So we don't have kids sitting on the street corner with nothing to do. We want to keep them active and their minds working. Because, you know, the old saying, a mind's a pretty little thing to waste. So you get these kids doing productive things and feeling good about themselves is a big deterrent. And it's a great way to avoid, you know, having to go through the criminal justice system. So, you know, we have an obligation to do that. I know the sheriff's doing it. I know we're doing it. I know the schools are doing it. And that's where we partner with the schools to try to do more and more. And I'm telling you, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of agencies in this county that do a lot of community work, from elder abuse all the way down to you know, with infants and whatnot. So the agencies that exist in this county, we're very lucky. And then,
well, you know, interestingly enough, I have to, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. I'm really interested and I'm really pleased. As you know, I worked at UCP of Western Mass for about 6 years. And boy, I'll tell you, there's your intervention with disabled people and listening to them and addressing when they are abused and not being afraid to put them on the stand, to me, that puts you in a whole different category.
Yeah, this is
in my respect of you, because through the years, not just here, but through the years, I've seen DA various, and you know some of them, that didn't want to do it because they wouldn't be good witnesses. Well, they still were abused or slapped around or whatever.
Yeah, well, that brings a good point. I'm glad you brought this up. I don't think I've told you this, but this past fall, we brought in a federal with state agency along with federal agencies on disabled persons, the yes. DPPP. And they came in and they spent $25,000 on training law enforcement and training my ADAs and training my advocates.
Beautiful.
On how do you interview? And you get they actually became forensically certified to interview adult victims of crimes. And the second phase of it is interviewing adult victims who are disabled that have been victims of crime. So I was able to secure some significant funding, which was, again, was $25,000 on a, yeah. on a 40-hour class that we had, I think 25 people that attended, that got them trained so that means 25 additional people in our criminal justice system are now trained to handle adult victims of rape, adult victims of assault, and adult victims of domestic and elder abuse. And we see, and there's a lot of, listen, disabled people are just like children. They often are targets of abuse.
So absolutely.
We have, and that's what I was talking about. We went into elder fraud, we went into disabled persons special victims unit that I've revamped up, and we're working with the special victims unit. And I was really proud that we could do that in Pittsfield at the Berkshire Innovation Center, which was just a great location for us to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know who devised it or how it came up, but boy, I tell you, I use that all year long. I pay for it. My office pays for it. And we use it, and it's a great way to get. It's a great training facility. They work well with us, and I brought in a lot of law enforcement. I brought in federal prosecutors, federal agencies, and we've done a lot of training at the BIC, and one of which was the Disabled Persons Commission that we worked with in the fall, and did a nice training. And they came in for us, and to come to Western Mass, believe it or not, it's really hard to get. We don't dollars out here, what you do in Boston, but I'm proud of the fact that they've really reached out and included us. I've done a great deal of work with the U.S. Attorney's Office working in the Berkshires. That hadn't happened in the past, and all this is happening now. And in the last 2 years, that's why you're seeing such an influx. It's not just my office. It's the other offices that I'm reaching out to, that I'm working with. So a lot of people, I know they can't see the whole picture because you're not inside here.
Right.
But I think you're seeing the results on the street, and I hope you're seeing the results in the street.
Well, I see the results because I walk North Street because it's flat.
You and me both.
Yeah. I mean, my hill days are long gone.
Yeah, that West Street walk's not going to happen for me.
No. But and I am seeing it. The only, and it's certainly not in your purview, they got to do something with the bike riders. There's got to be some. They the other day I almost got run over coming out of Dottie's on a guy on a motorized bike on the sidewalk.
Yeah. I think the mayor has started to talk about that and address that.
Oh, they
are. There's going to be talks about it. I can say this as well, is that everybody should be very optimistic about stuff because, the mayor talks with me all the time. I talk with the chief for the
police. Oh, he's a great guy.
You know, that people are working together with whatever differences anybody may have or had.
Exactly right.
The sheriff, the mayor, the chiefs throughout the whole county are all working cohesively with an optimistic plan for the future. So when you have those things, my suggestion is always to send it to City Hall, let them know, because I think they're trying to do what they can do. And again, we all have a limited amount of dollars that are out there for us. But, I do think that the public should be aware that your leaders are working together and speaking with each other.
Without question, it's never, I shouldn't say never, but in a long time, I haven't seen the camaraderie between state police, local police, DA. I go back a long time. I know I don't look it. Thanks for saying that. But I go back to Matty Ryan, actually. But Tony.
Yeah, I work for Matty Ryan.
Tony Roberto. Here's an aside story. So my mother was a fine Irish lass. So Matty Ryan was running against Tony Roberto was running against Matty Ryan, and I was
against Bill Flynn. Matty Ryan's first assistant.
Billy Flynn. Yeah.
Yep.
So anyhow, my mother says, well, you of course you're going to vote for Billy Flynn. I said, no, I'm working for Tony. What? The old Irish. So anyhow, but It was a change, and he had a similar philosophy of yours: bring people and make it a team. And with Danny and Franny Spina, and you know, Franny and I were in high school with his brother. But I have seen that Jerry had it for a while, but now it's you're all a cohesive group.
Yeah, I mean, Tony did a great job. You know, I was very friendly with the Flynns. I knew the Flynn family and very nice people as well. But, you know, when Tony came in, too, I'm going to give him the props as well. As Tony did a great job here.
Yeah.
I try to emulate my office like Tony did, which is surround yourself with great people.
He has
Judge Daniel Ford later on. Judge
Franny Spina.
Yeah. Mass Supreme Court Justice Fran Spina. Yeah. You know, just so many, Phil Heller, there's so many great lawyers.
Oh, God rest his soul.
Lee Flournoy, Betsy Quigley, all the lawyers that were, when they were really young,
yep.
he developed a very, very strong, Judge Vrabel, Paul Vrabel, was oh, there. Yeah. And so, you know.
Bobby Scott with his CPAC unit, Lieutenant
Scott. Yeah, Bobby Scott, Rick Smith, you know.
Yeah, all good, solid guys.
Allegro, yeah, all these great guys. So I think for the first time since those days, that we have a CPAC unit, a state police unit, full with, you know, 15 state troopers, and wow. An office that's wow. Almost, other than the few lawyers I need left to get, five more lawyers, we have a full office staff. And I think that this is, you know, it's of the quality and the caliber that existed in the past. And that's what happened with Matty Ryan. I worked for Matty Ryan in the 1980s. As a child abuse prosecutor, myself, Betsy Scheibel, and Joe Early, all three of us became DAs. Under,
wow.
And we all worked for Matty Ryan. And Matty Ryan produced, I think, 15 or 20 judges. And that's the same type of thing that Tony Ribeiro did. And Jerry was doing. Jerry brought David Capos in, you know, from Middlesex, brought me in from Hamden. So we brought people in, and I think we're doing the same thing by bringing in excellent lawyers and the right vision about how to do things and making this a very professional office. I can't make everybody happy, and I know that, and no matter what we do.
Be a radio talk show host.
But I do, I want people to know that we are, we're working real hard. We're trying to make sure that you're safe here. And listen, it's so much easier to be in private practice and make all the money you want in the world. But it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of work. You know, last weekend I'm at the Mad Vigil for the drunk drivers on Saturday.
Yep.
And last Saturday, another testament to Berkshire County. I was actively involved with the Toys for Tots campaign, which they just are doing such a wonderful job. We had 1,885, I think, at the Hot Dog Ranch and 1,800 at the Rioters. We need 7,000 toys. Berkshire County stepped up to it. But that's the reason why I got back into public office, and the reason why I want to do this stuff, because Berkshire County does do so much. And you look at a Toys for Tots program like that. And there's so many programs that I get involved with during the year that we dedicate our time and agency, again, our Dress for Success programs. And I'm finding there are others, and as I learn about them, I try to implement them. There's some child needs programs up in North Adams I'm going to work with for next year that I just became aware of. So the stuff that, as I know about it, we try to implement. And I try to promote it countywide, and I think that's working real well. So you know, it's just I know people can't know everything we're doing out the whole time, and it's tough to see when we have limited availability because we don't have a TV station. But you know, the people in this office are working real hard, and they're doing a great job, and they're getting.
I think the public, you know, because I'm out and about like you, I see you in a lot of places. You see me. I think the people are seeing and seeing the difference. You're approachable. You're out with your wife, and you're approachable. They're seeing in the newspaper convictions, charges, you know, they maybe don't know how to express it all that well. But believe me, I hear from a lot of them after these programs. And even before, and that's why I think it's important that we keep all these channels open and your initiatives one after another, you're coming up with them. I don't mind promoting those. I love promoting those.
There's just so much, and you know, we're thinking about going now since the 2 years is going to start in January. I've got, you know, like a 6-page list of the things that we have accomplished in the first 2 years. And, you know, we don't self-promote on that. We do have our website, which is BerkshireDistrictAttorney's Office.com, which you can see the stuff up there. We try to keep it up to date because so many things are happening, I can't even do that all the time. But you'll just see this, how much community involvement is going on here and what we're doing with the convictions and what we're doing within the community, partnershipping with the Sheriff's Office, partnershipping with Second Street, Second Chances, and so many, and Berkshire Health Systems, the Breen Center, and working with all these agencies, you know, the Community Justice Support Center of Pittsfield, all these agencies that we work with on a regular basis. Sometimes there's just not even enough time during the week to make all these particular meetings. I have to pick and choose which ones we do. I'm doing triads all right now because it's Christmas time to talk with our you know, people that are of our generation, Bill, people over 60. It's very good because I hear from them. I hear what they want and what they need to know. So, and I appreciate you getting us on so we can let people know, because a newspaper article can only do so much. And again, you know, and sometimes it does, the clarity isn't there as I can put it on the radio and clarify what are you guys doing and why you're doing it. And if you understand why we're doing things a certain way, believe me, it makes a lot of sense. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make this our community the safest community. I still bring it back to this. I consider this still Rockwell's Berkshire.
Yeah. You know?
I still see it as I grew up with those pictures, you know, Saturday Evening Post and all that stuff. And it grew up with just, that's how we lived. And I want to make sure we preserve that way of life for our citizens of Berkshire County and preserve the way I grew up. I would love to see more and more like it was when I grew up in the 70s on North Street on Thursday night. You know, just to bring that stuff back. And I certainly see it. I grew up here and going to Conic High School and whatnot. We were at Noda Lake all the time. Boy, I'm just seeing the parks get used more. I'm seeing it clean. I'm seeing a lot of positivity. And I think that's what we have to breed. Yeah. You know, for years we had lack of civility and we had negativity. I don't want negativity. Negativity only breeds discontent. What we need to do is be talking positivity. Let's move forward. Let's get things done. Whatever opinions we had, whatever politics you have, drop it and try to, you know, be civil to your brothers and sisters. Be civil to your neighbors. Open the door for somebody. Just say hello. Just be the Berkshires that we are, which is a very loving, good community that cares about each other. And having the same problems that cities have, having same problems that you know, rural communities have, because we have both of that.
Yeah,
and we have those issues, but let's address them as a team and as a community. And you can't do any better than Berkshire County does. This is a very community oriented.
Yes, it is.
And people do give back. So just remember that. Stay positive. You know, and especially at the holidays, we're talking, you know, it's Hanukkah's coming up and Christmas is coming up and Kwanzaa, you know, all these holidays that for different ethics group in the county. Love your brothers and your sisters and your neighbors. And, you know, it almost sounds stupid to say it, but say hello, shake hands, and just be like, be civil. Civility needs to come back. Let's bring civility to our community. Let's, you know, when you're getting out of the church parking lot, don't cut each other off, you know, just everybody, let somebody go in front of you. You know, it's just, try to think about civility. I think it's important. And if everybody did that in the county, and just like you say,
a lot easier.
If everybody just did one task to make somebody else's life better in the county, we're much better off. And the more, even if you do one thing a day that helps somebody else out, remember that goes tenfold, and most people will reciprocate that. So it starts at home, and it starts with what we do in our own community. So that's my goal. That's how I lead this office. It's how I teach my ADA, I teach my staff. Be nice to each other and do your job to the fullest extent, you know, and they're doing that. I can tell you this office works exceptionally hard. Nobody leaves a stone unturned. And it's so hard because sometimes they want to go home because they're tired, but they just do the job to the utmost. So I'm very proud of this office.
I can't thank you enough for coming on. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish all my viewers Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. And, you know, I know this offends some of you, but it's my right. It's my freedom of speech. And God bless. And I mean that. And like the DA just said, today, try to lift somebody else's load. Give a call. Give a smile. Shake your hand. Let somebody go ahead of you. You know, we're all in this together. And we got to start helping each other rather than stepping on each other. If you get one step ahead of me in the checkout line at Big Y, God love you. But and I mean that. D.A. Shagoo, thank you so much for all. Please tell all of your staff and your troopers. People do appreciate it. And I want to thank you for coming on. And to you and your beautiful wife, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And I'll be reaching out for you next month.
Yeah, look forward to the new year, 2025. So we're looking forward to it. But really, to you and Roseanne, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And to all your listeners, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever holiday that you are celebrating.
That's right.
This year, make sure you do celebrate it with your neighbors and your friends. So, Happy Holidays.
Thank you so much for all you do. And we'll catch up.
Thanks, Bill.